It's been so long. How have you been?
Hello, I'm doing well.
Dave, why are you talking that way?
Please say one for a compliment or two for a question.
Yeah, this is weird. I think I'm going to go.
Talking with an automated phone tree can feel pretty ridiculous. That's why when you call Pacific Source Health Plans, you'll get a real person to answer all your important questions.
Pacific Source Health Plans, this is a real person. How can I help you?
Human service, not automated phone trees. Find a plan at PacificSourceMembersFirst.com.
Hey, a quick message before we start today's show. We are so grateful to have you as a listener. And now we want to learn more about your listening habits and how you think we can be better. We've got a new survey that we're running for a limited time, and we would love to hear from you. It shouldn't take more than 5 minutes to complete. And to do that, go to washingtonpost.com/podcast survey. That's washingtonpost.com/podcast survey. When you're done, you can enter to win a gift card. Some are worth up to $1,000. So if that got your attention, one more time, that's washingtonpost.com/podcast survey. Thank you so much, and here's today's show.
Finance Committee will come to order. This morning, the Finance Committee examines the Change Healthcare hack that nearly brought our country's healthcare system to a standstill 6 weeks ago.
On Capitol Hill on Wednesday, Senator Ron Wyden gaveled in a hearing with the head of United Health Group. It's the fourth largest company in the U.S. And in February, one of its subsidiaries, Change Healthcare, was hacked, which is a big deal because Change Healthcare processes more than 40% of the entire country's medical claims. Senators like Marsha Blackburn wanted to know how something like that could happen.
Now, your revenues are bigger than some countries' GDP. And how in heaven's name did you not have the necessary redundancies so that you did not experience this attack and find yourself so vulnerable?
Thank you for the question.
That's the CEO of United Health, Andrew Witty.
We have deployed the full resources of United Health Group in this effort. I want to assure the American public, we will not rest, I will not rest, until we fix this.
The company is still trying to figure out exactly what data was stolen. But Woody testified that the personal data of as many as one-third of Americans could have been compromised. My colleague Dan Diamond is a national health reporter for The Post, and he was at this hearing. He says this unprecedented hack is likely just the beginning.
This has been the worst cyber attack of its kind so far. There will be worse. It's just inevitable. And the fact that Change Healthcare affected so many Americans who don't even know it, I'm sure, Martine, that we have not heard the last of this story, that it's like a time bomb waiting to go off. And down the line, there will be some moment where a lot of data gets leaked and shows up and starts being used for bad things, and it will be traced back to this hack in February.
From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers. It's Thursday, May 2nd. Today, Dan explains how this attack happened and what it tells us about the vulnerability of the healthcare system. So, Dan, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a United Healthcare customer. It's not my insurance company. So I remember when the news about this hack broke back in February, I was like, oh, that doesn't seem good. But then I kind of moved on. And you have been covering this since then. And I think you've been making the case that this cyber attack is a huge deal to everyone. Can you explain why?
Well, Martine, I think a lot of reporters missed the possible impact too, at least initially. I certainly did. Some of that was because United Health itself wasn't trumpeting exactly what happened, and it took some days for more details to come out. But a few days after the hack, the Post got a tip from a reader named Marty Baron up in the Berkshires of Massachusetts that people were having...
the former editor of the Washington Post.
that Marty Baron, one and the same, that he... was seeing people in his area having trouble filling prescriptions. And that helped put the Post onto the story. By late February, early March, it was clear that big chunks of the U.S. healthcare financial system, other operations were being paralyzed. The American Hospital Association and others said it was the worst cyber attack of its kind. And when I dug into this, I spoke to some of the government officials who were trying to coordinate the response. They said they had real fear of a tipping point. Hospitals weren't getting paid. Doctors weren't getting paid. The biggest sector of the American economy, healthcare, was undergoing a liquidity crisis. You could see how that would spread quickly, where if all these hospitals and doctors and other providers had no money, some would have to furlough staff. They might have to shut down. Patients might be turned away from care. This became a moment of financial peril for many healthcare organizations, and they took a lot of pain to stay open and protect patients like you, like me, from knowing how bad it was behind the scenes. And Martine, I want to go back to something you said, that United Healthcare isn't your insurer. It isn't mine either, but there's a very good chance that your medical data and my medical data has passed through United Healthcare's system, through either the processors of this subsidiary that got hacked, which was processing about half of all medical claims in America, or maybe some other part of the company. The CEO testified to Congress that perhaps one third of Americans could have their private data compromised. So you may never have heard of this subsidiary Change Healthcare. You might not think you're a United Health customer, but there's a pretty good chance that one in three listeners to this podcast were affected. And thanks to this hack, there is sensitive data with their names on it that could show up on the dark web.
Well, that makes a compelling case for why I should care about this. I want to go back for a second and just have you explain, what exactly is the United Health Group?
United Health Group is an umbrella company that has been around for about 50 years. They started out focusing on HMOs, health maintenance organizations in Minnesota, where they're headquartered, and in the Midwest. And they have slowly, steadily gobbled up different parts of the healthcare sector. They are the fourth largest company in America right now. They're pushing $400 billion in annual revenue. They own doctor's offices. They own the biggest health insurance company. They own pharmacies. They own home health agencies. The list goes on. And they are so big, Martine, that if you split them into their two major divisions, United Healthcare, the insurance company, and Optum, which is kind of everything else, both of those companies would probably be in the Fortune 15, the Fortune 20, as the 20 largest companies in America.
Wow.
So within United Health, there's a subsidiary, Change Healthcare, that they bought a few years ago. And this company operates what is like the information superhighway inside the health system. When doctors, hospitals are submitting claims, before they got to the insurance company, they would pass through Change Healthcare, which would clean up the claim, standardize it digitally. And then also when payment can be coming back, or when prescriptions are being ordered and filled. It was just this key middleman that was operating the nuts and bolts of the health system.
So then walk me through what happened with Change Healthcare and this hack back in February.
I will walk you through what we know based on public comments and some things that I've heard privately. First, this hack, this was not a Mission Impossible style hack where there was the Tom Cruise spy hanging from the ceiling using fancy equipment to break into a system. Or it wasn't some team with quantum computers or genius hackers. This was like the simplest hack possible. Someone's credentials were stolen. It might have been as simple as the hackers got a person's username and password. And Change Healthcare, the key subsidiary that we're talking about here, the part of United Healthcare, they didn't have what's known as multi-factor authentication to force an additional security check. That's something like the text message or email you might get when you're trying to make an online purchase.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty basic part of like online security at this point, is that they send you that text or whatever when you're logging into a site to make sure that it's you.
Yes, it's a pretty simple thing. And the fact that the company that was handling 50% of all medical claims and all the sensitive medical information that flows through them didn't have that on the system, this is what boggled the minds of lawmakers in the hearings on Wednesday.
Before we get to the hearings, I just want to understand a little bit more. Once these hackers got in, what did they do? What did they prevent from happening?
Well, first, they slowly took data out of the system. They moved around within Change Healthcare, seemingly without detection, for 9 days. They planted ransomware that 9 days into their hack that was activated. That's when United Health learned about the situation, shut everything down, shut down this network. And it came out some days later publicly that these hackers were demanding ransom to turn back over what had been stolen, or at least not release it publicly for others to find on the dark web. Some of that has already happened, though. Some of this patient information has started showing up in places of the internet that it shouldn't. So the scope of the hack is still very much unknown, and that was something that the CEO of United Health, Andrew Witty, was pressed on again and again and again. What was taken? How many Americans are affected? When will this firmly be behind us? And United Health has been reassuring, but there are a lot of providers who say they're still not getting paid. There are a lot of patients who probably don't know that their data was taken in this hack of United Health.
So let's dive into these hearings and talk more about what was actually unpacked there. The fact that this is the first time that the CEO of United Health was testifying in front of Congress in more than 15 years, this seemed like a pretty closely watched hearing. Can you just describe a little bit about what it was like and the general tone and tenor of having the executives from this company have to kind of come before Congress to answer for everything that went wrong?
Yeah, I want to put some context around that number, Martine, about how long it's been since United Health's chief executive testified in front of Congress. I dropped by the Senate historian's office a few weeks ago. He helped me figure out and confirm that, yes, it has been 15 years since this company's leader has come. 15 years ago was before the Affordable Care Act passed. It was before United Health made dozens of acquisitions. The company was a quarter of its size. A lot has happened since then, and you've seen other major companies be summoned to Capitol Hill, or notable figures who, frankly, were less important than United Health have to come and testify. Listeners might remember the pharma bro, Martin Shkreli, this investor and pharma company owner who hiked the price of one drug, and that became a focus of Congress. So it's surprising when you think that this sprawling operation of United Health would avoid some scrutiny over those 15 years. The hearings themselves were pretty intense, partly as a result. There were lawmakers who I think had pent up questions for United Health that went way beyond the hack.
And there were also protesters, correct?
There were protesters. There were about a dozen in the first hearing of the morning wearing shirts that were anti-United Healthcare, and they were prepared to protest as soon as the hearing ended. So you hear these protesters chanting, "Andrew Witty, you can't hide, we can see your greedy side." And it was incredible in the room to watch them swarm the CEO of United Health as other United Health executives tried to stand up and provide a human barrier or talk to these protesters to try to take them out of the path of CEO Witty.
Wow.
I've seen a lot of heated hearings, and there certainly have been ones that have been more combative, where people try to interrupt halfway through. But this felt like a moment, Martine, of almost accountability, where you have this sprawling company and the CEO of it, its practices under scrutiny in Congress, and patients angrily yelling at the CEO to his face.
Wow. So how did Andrew Witty respond to all this? The protesters, the accusations from lawmakers and otherwise that his company had really dropped the ball on all this?
Leading up to the hearing, United Health had been pretty proud of its response, talking about how the fact they owned this company that got hacked was better for the U.S. health system because they had such deep pockets. They could help bail the health system out. In front of Congress, he was much more contrite, apologizing repeatedly.
"I'm very sorry to hear the situation of the patient who was waiting for their insulin."
On individual patients, when Congress members would bring up the cases of people who might have struggled to get access to care or doctors who weren't getting paid.
Senator, thank you very much for the question. And let me say how sorry I am to hear the kind of pressure that you just described.
It was almost 5 hours of apologies.
To all those impacted, let me be very clear. I am deeply, deeply sorry.
And the idea, too, that United Health's subsidiary, Change Healthcare, did not have this basic protection of multi-factor authentication, this email or text or whatever, to double-check before you logged in. Senators made a lot of hay of that. Tom Tillis, a North Carolina Republican, held up a book, Hacking for Dummies.
So it's called Hacking for Dummies. This is the fifth edition. It doesn't include the nature of the breach that you all developed, but this is some basic stuff that was missed.
She's trying to make the point. You could be a dummy and access the system without much of a hack.
So shame on internal audit, external audit, and your systems folks tasked with redundancy. They're not doing their job.
And Andrew Woody didn't have much of a response to that. He blamed it mostly on, we bought this company a few years ago. It was their old technology, and we're just trying to fix it.
And how did United Health Group respond to this attack? And how did Woody talk about the steps that they took to try to get this under control?
After the hack happened in late February, United Health did start offering financial support to some affected hospitals and doctors. There were major complaints that this financial support didn't go far enough. There were providers who needed hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in bills to be paid. United was offering $1,000, $3,000, just not enough to help make ends meet, especially for these doctor practices. And then there were strings on some of that funding too. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, United Health was negotiating with these hackers. And the CEO, Andrew Woody, said he made the decision to pay a ransom, $22 million, to the hackers in hopes of trying to resolve these issues.
As we've responded to this attack, including dealing with the demand for ransom, my overarching priority has been to do everything possible to protect people's personal health information. The decision to pay a ransom was mine. This was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. As you know, we found files in the exfiltrated data containing protected health information and personally identifiable information, which could cover a substantial proportion of people in America.
What we've seen in subsequent weeks, Martine, is that when you're dealing with hackers, that might not put everything to bed. There is still the threat that despite paying off the hackers, some of this data may find its way out.
And tell me a little bit more about what criticisms lawmakers made about how United Health had responded to all this.
Some of it was around how they had provided financial support, or not enough, they said. Senator Maggie Hassan, New Hampshire senator, had pushed United to make its loans more favorable to these providers that were hit with no payments for weeks.
Following the February cyber attack on your subsidiary company, I heard from New Hampshire hospitals that saw nearly all of their revenue disappear overnight. You and I subsequently had a series of discussions about the need for United Health to provide financial assistance to hospitals under fair terms.
And that came up a lot in the hearing, too. What was United Health going to do for the doctors who had to take personal loans out to keep operations going? Something like half of doctors had said they'd dip into personal savings. What was United Health going to do for all the patients who were affected by this and had their data stolen and still don't know it? United Health has said they'll offer free credit monitoring, but Senator Ron Wyden said, just like with mass shootings and thoughts and prayers.
Because I happen to think, Mr. Woody, credit monitoring is the thoughts and prayers of data breaches. This is absolutely inefficient.
It's cold comfort. It's not enough. So those were some of the things around the hack that were focused on. And then there was much more beyond the hack, just about United Health's broader consolidation that came under fire too.
After the break, I asked Dan what can be done to prevent future attacks like this. We'll be right back.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from The Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
It's been so long. How have you been?
Hello, I'm doing well.
Dave, why are you talking that way?
Please say 1 for a compliment or 2 for a question.
Yeah, this is weird. I think I'm going to go.
Talking with an automated phone tree can feel pretty ridiculous. That's why when you call Pacific Source Health Plans, you'll get a real person to answer all your important questions.
Pacific Source Health Plans, this is a real person. How can I help you?
Human service, not automated phone trees. Find a plan at PacificSourceMembersFirst.com.
So, Dan, tell me more about how these hearings on Capitol Hill kind of opened up the floodgates for other criticisms of this company that has so much control over our healthcare system.
I do think, Martine, the cyber attack brought us to this point. United Health hadn't been on the Hill in 15 years. These hearings wouldn't have happened if Change Healthcare didn't get hacked. But that did open the door to lots of big questions about United Health, how it bills patients and whether it denies too much care, how it bills the federal government and whether it inflates those bills, how it is buying up other parts of the health system and whether that creates conflicts of interest. And there were some lawmakers who were really focused on that. Senator Elizabeth Warren, the Democrat from Massachusetts. Other lawmakers also had the question for United, are you too big for our country's safety?
Hmm. And what would they potentially want to see changed if they think that this company is maybe a monopoly?
You know, I went for a walk with Senator Warren a couple of weeks ago, and she focused in on United acquiring physicians.
Do you feel like United has an unusual influence operation, unusually strong, that's helped protect them?
Because they're so damn big. Mm-hmm. 1 in every 10 doctors in America has been sucked into the Optum system. Most patients probably don't know that their doctors are working for a giant corporation bent on maximizing profits instead of working for themselves or a local practice.
They own, contract, affiliate with somewhere around 90,000 or 100,000 physicians. This is an insurance company. And the question is, if the insurance company also is owning and operating the doctors, is that creating a conflict of interest where, as Senator Warren argues, the doctors may be more rationed on their time, patients aren't getting the experience that they might if there was an independent doctor working with them? Is United Health suffering conflicts of interest that harm patient care? And some of these lawmakers want the company to be broken up. I don't think Congress necessarily has that power, but they could certainly pursue legislation that would make it a lot harder for United Health to own and operate different parts of the health system like they do.
So given all this, what do these questions and criticisms mean for the future of United Health and the future for all of us whose health information intersects with this company or who's affected by this?
It's worth noting, Martine, that even as Congress was grilling United Health's CEO, regulators, enforcers at other parts of the federal government are looking at United Health too. The Justice Department is currently probing whether United Health is presenting an antitrust concern. So there might be other shoes to drop in DC that would make it harder for United Health to be the sprawling Goliath that it is. But I think moving forward, it was an open question to me whether the hearings were the end or the start. And what I mean by that is at the end of 2 months of anger building up to these hearings where lawmakers can vent at United Health, or is it the start of more oversight? It is a lot easier to hold a hearing where lawmakers get to yell at a CEO than it is to do the work of writing legislation, of getting your colleagues on board, getting it through divided Congress as lobbyists try to kill your bill. Lawmakers say they're committed to doing more oversight here. Kathy McMorris Rodgers, who leads the House committee that oversaw yesterday's hearing, she said to me, this is the beginning of our process. We will do more. But whether there actually is appetite to do that and time to do that in an election year, I don't think we know that yet.
Interesting. One more question before we wrap, and I want to bring it back to where we started, which is thinking about the threats of these kinds of attacks happening going forward, how worried should we be as consumers about the cybersecurity risks of the healthcare industry?
Worried. Healthcare has been targeted by hackers repeatedly, increasingly over the past number of years, up something like 300% in terms of hacks over the past several years. And that is because, first, these are organizations that have a lot of tempting targets. They have the data that has our personal information or our financial information, things that if hackers steal it, they can use for all kinds of nefarious deeds. There's also the fact that some of these organizations, like in the case of Change Healthcare, might not be so well protected. They're not the banks that have the spikes all around the outside protecting the data inside. There's the system like Change Healthcare that has the soft underbelly that the hackers are looking for just to find their way in. Hopefully there aren't too many more, and hopefully this episode is putting a red alert around the issue of hackers finding these open doors and walking in, but it will continue.
Dan, thank you so much for explaining all this.
Martine, thank you for having me to help unwind it.
Dan Diamond is a national health reporter for The Post. Before we go, you've heard us covering the latest on the many anti-war protests on college campuses. And today, we've got more updates. Around the country, law enforcement is ramping up their response. Today, just before dawn at UCLA, police raided the pro-Palestinian encampment there. They pushed through barricades, appeared to deploy stun grenades, and leveled the tents. That comes after police detained protesters who had been occupying a campus building at Columbia on Tuesday. And at Dartmouth on Wednesday, 90 demonstrators were arrested. The protests violated the university's rules prohibiting encampments. The president of Dartmouth put out a statement today addressing those arrests. She said, quote, "Last night, people felt so strongly about their beliefs that they were willing to face disciplinary action and arrest. While there is bravery in that, part of choosing to engage in this way is not just acknowledging, but accepting that actions have consequences." That's it for Post Reports. Thank you so much for listening. And again, don't forget to take our listener survey, which you can find at washingtonpost.com/podcast survey. Today's show was produced by Alana Gordon. It was mixed by Sean Carter and edited by Lucy Perkins. Thank you also to Stephen Smith. I'm Martine Powers. We'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from The Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.